Mojo, look who's here. I haven't seen you in many a year. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, baked a cake, baked a cake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hat-cha-do, hat-cha-do, hat-cha-do. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, grandest band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, spread the welcome mat for you. Now I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band, goodness sake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hatcha-do, hatcha-do, hatcha-do. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hatcha-do, hatcha-do, hatcha-do. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a hall, a great big hall, band and all. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a hall and spread the welcome mat for you. Now I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band, goodness sake. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hatcha-do, hatcha-do, hatcha-do. Hatcha-do, hatcha-do, hatcha-do. Hatcha-do, hatcha-do, hatcha-do.
And hey, we are back here, WWGH Radio, on a Friday morning, 11:16 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 16 minutes past the hour. This is the Over Coffee program with Sean Kraft, Nan Weir, and Marge Hazelett, and everybody is here as we get ready to head into the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of fun. Well, Sean, we had the new program this morning, The Theology Guys, with
yes.
Pastor Brett Cornelius and Pastor Rhett Crabtree. I got to listen to it on the radio there. Very interesting stuff.
It was. It was a very interesting show. We had a good time this morning, and glad to have them on the air.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Good to have them back. Marge, you'll be here for the Exchange Club today, and now a little earlier for this program. What's new with you?
Pardon?
What's new?
Oh, what's new with me? Aging. That's something new. That's a new word for me.
That's a new thing.
And we're going to talk a little bit about it because I'm really very, very concerned about what happened at that eight people that expired.
Yeah, that was a tragedy.
That hurts me deeply because you never know if you're going to end up in something like that. However, where I am going to be going here in a couple of 3 months, I'm just real pleased to be a part of it.
Well, have they found out why? What?
Oh, Nan, you want to get a little closer to the mic?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we want to hear you.
Oh, you want to hear me.
I want to hear you.
No. Have they found the cause for that?
I haven't heard that they have.
Well, it's my understanding was the air conditioning wasn't working.
Right.
And they, you know, it just got too hot, got overheated at that age.
But what in the world, when they were just a stone throw from a hospital, couldn't they go? I'd like to know a little bit more about that.
I don't know if the hospital had evacuated or what the issue was.
I don't know either.
There.
See, we don't have that information.
A tragedy.
I didn't follow this story. So somebody, how many people?
10, I think it was.
They just died?
8 or 10,
no.
Yes. Yeah. Old ladies,
old ladies.
Probably my age. I don't know. Maybe younger.
Well, they could have been
older.
Confined to beds, you know, not easy to transport.
And their bodies just rotted away?
Well, no. It was during the hurricane.
Right.
Oh. And the nursing home lost power, so it lost air conditioning. And
apparently they didn't have anything to back them up.
Yeah, no plan B.
No plan B. And these people died.
They died.
And this
is the nursing home responsible for that?
Well, I don't know. In a hurricane, because when the state tells you to evacuate, but did these people have any means to evacuate? I don't know where their families were. I guess some of them don't have families.
Well, they probably don't. And I talked to our son, whose wife is a Floridian, and she would not leave. Of course, my son is a nice guy. He did not leave. And I said to him, would you do this again? And he said, read my lips. No.
Yeah.
And he said, when everything calms down and we're someplace very, you know, nice and we're relaxed, I'm going to tell her how I feel that I'll never do it again. Mm-hmm. He said it was he said, I can't even explain it to you. He said, you're thinking to yourself, am I going to be here tomorrow or what? What's going to happen? And he said he was really, not really afraid, but he said it was a terrible experience.
Well, I don't understand in these hurricanes when they tell you to leave.
I'd leave.
Leave. Why? I mean, I understand people don't want to leave their houses, but my goodness, you can repair a house. You can't repair the body when it's dead.
Well, I mean, obviously, they need to investigate this, why they left these old people down there.
Well, my understanding is the nursing home stayed open.
Right.
People stayed there, but it lost power. And there was no way to do anything.
90 degrees, they couldn't tolerate that in their fragile conditions that they were probably in.
Well, why didn't they move them?
Well, most of the area was without power. I believe still there's millions of people in Florida without power right now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Our son was lucky.
Should not have nursing homes in a hurricane territory.
Well, Florida is nursing home capital of the world. Mm-hmm. More seniors live in Florida than anywhere
else.
That's
what I'm saying. So maybe they should look into that.
I'm hoping that somebody will really do an investigation and tell the truth, because we need to know. I'm headed towards old age.
Am I old?
Huh? She can't hear too well. No, seriously, it's something that I take very seriously, because I worked a lot of geriatrics when I was a student nurse. Not so much when I became a nurse, but I believe in helping. You're helpless. If you've ever been paralyzed, I was. And let me tell you, it's a horrifying experience. Horrifying. And you can't help yourself. You can't even turn over in bed by yourself. And I spent time being in that particular position after I broke my back real bad. So I have a lot of feeling for those old people. I have a lot of feeling for people being in hospitals. And let me tell you, don't become a nurse if you can't tolerate that kind of situation, because it's there all the time and you need their help. You can't do anything for yourself. So I have a real passion, and Nan knows I do, and I know that aging is a process. We're all going to go through it, folks, whether you like it or don't.
Well, you know, the interesting thing is it's easy for people to come out and say, and I certainly don't think this should have happened, it's easy for people to say, well, you know, something should have been done. But the problem is, we had a senior center here in Marion that went without air conditioning for quite a while. And although people knew about it, I didn't see them
doing anything.
You know, nobody was running over doing anything. So
they got the news, you know, from Columbus up here for a while, but that didn't last long either.
No.
You know.
So, I mean, even though people think, well, that's awful that that should happen, people don't act on their own. And I think that's part of the problem. When you know there's an issue, create a solution. And I don't think people do that.
No. I think it's getting worse.
Oh, I would say so.
I would say that hopefully Nan and I'll, you know.
I think that should be a requirement for any kind of nursing homes to have a backup generator.
Well, is it? Now, I don't know, because I'm not like that. But when you get older and you are in a home like that, are they, don't they know, or don't they care, or the people that's there?
Well, a lot of them are bedridden, and the nurses, I don't know what they're going to do.
Well,
they can't
apparently
do anything.
The nurses just left, right?
What's that?
Their nurses.
No, I don't think they left.
They didn't leave.
But they could stand the heat.
They didn't do anything about it. That's what is so sad, when the hospital was practically next door.
They couldn't. They hadn't run any water. Couldn't they put some wash rags on their faces or
I don't know what they tried.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't, heard. But you know, the sad thing about the whole situation is we put people in rest homes. We only put my mother in for a short time, and I wanted her out of there in the worst way. But I was only one of three. You know, they think everything is great. I know better. I've worked there. Mm-hmm. You know, so I know what goes on. And it shouldn't happen. And that should have never, ever happened anywhere. It gives all places like that a bad name.
Well, here, I want to read this story just so we have the facts of it. It's at least 56 of Florida's 639. They have 639 nursing homes in Florida. 56 of them still have no electricity as of Friday morning, 5 days after the hurricane. Nursing homes across the state are getting new attention after eight people died Wednesday. Hollywood police carried out a search warrant of the Hollywood Hills home as the criminal investigation into this tragedy moves forward. Florida Governor Rick Scott has directed Florida's Agency for Health Care Administration to remove the rehabilitation center from the Medicaid program. Family and friends of patients who died and survived are demanding answers. What a price to pay, not just for, not just my Betty, but for all people. When we walked in, it was so hot and she was gasping. When we approached her, she wasn't really crying the tears. She just said she couldn't breathe. Early Wednesday morning, three patients arrived at the hospital across the street with extremely high body temperature. One of the nurses became alarmed and walked over to find out what was happening, and that's when they found that they were warm over there. The Hollywood Police Department is conducting a criminal investigation with the help of state agencies, so my guess is that there will be some kind of charges filed against the nursing home. But
it's not going to bring them back.
No, it's not going to bring them back, and there
but
are
maybe
still
maybe call attention to it.
And 56 nursing homes are still without power.
Now, isn't nursing homes patrolled by the government?
No, most of them are private.
Oh, they are.
They take money from the government, but they're not private. They're privately ran.
Well, you think the government will require a backup generator of some sort before?
There's a lot of things that they should be doing that they just overlook. It's all the dollar and cents, folks. It's just what it is. And I don't care who wants to thwart me for that, but it's the truth. It's all money.
Well, that's the first thing that came over my mind was, wait a minute, don't they have generators? You don't need electricity.
Well, I think it sounds to me like they did have electricity because there's still people over there and people mm-hmm. working. Mm-hmm. And the air conditioner might have just been ripped apart because of the mm-hmm. hurricane. I really don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe they didn't want to run the air conditioner mm-hmm. because they thought that would drain the generator mm-hmm. and they're still without power a week later.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, I don't know. It hurts me deeply, truly.
Only
I'm
in America.
On that path right now myself.
Only in America, ladies. Only in America.
But what do people do? Now we knew that in Florida they had 639 nursing homes. Now, did people run down and try to get these people out of there? At some point, we have to have good Samaritans. We cannot lay everything on the government. Mm-hmm. There aren't enough people to evacuate. Can you imagine if we took the government and FEMA and the police departments to just concentrate on the nursing homes? 639 nursing homes?
And then multiply that by the number of people in the nursing
yes,
homes.
Yes. So they should have like an underground something for hurricanes.
We worry about the silly things in our country, but not the really, I feel, important things. You know, I mean, we talk about this and we talk about that, but we never do anything about anything.
Do you agree with that, Nan? Don't you think you should have like something underground so people can go to?
Well, my question is this. We knew there was going to be a terrible
storm.
Hurricane. Absolutely.
Then why were the people allowed to stay there?
They did. Well, Marge's son stayed. I mean, people stay. People are, they worry
about
their house.
It's going to go away.
It's the freedom of the country. You get to do what
you
want.
Well, there, I never thought about that, but I'm going, my goodness gracious. Now, we have a daughter and a son-in-law, and I have a nephew, and he lived on the West Coast. Well, he knew what probably was going to happen because he's a Floridian, and they just packed up and headed north.
See, I would have stayed myself.
Mm-hmm. And he said, no way, you know, this
Why
is...
Why would you stay?
I like storms. I mean, I would like to be... I'm one of those kind of people
like coffins. Honey, you wouldn't have liked this storm.
That's about it. It's not a rainstorm.
No, I know, but I guess it depends on where you was. I mean, if I was in the Keys or maybe lower west of Miami, probably not. But if I was in upper Florida, I would have stayed.
Mm-hmm. Now, our daughter was in the middle of the state. And she said it hit them, but what they did, they didn't have any broken windows she said the wind was terrible, and they did lose a lot of, I don't know whether actually all the trees, but, you know, limbs and things like that, but she said it was bad. They were prepared for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Craig was, I know, because he spent a lot of money. He spent a lot of time. Friends all dug in. They all helped each other, went right down the street. But, you know, he was brought up that way. I mean, we didn't just wait till something happened. Mm-hmm. Let the house burn down and stand out there and watch it. No, we would have done hopefully something about it. It was really interesting because last year, the Ohio Department of Aging used the month of May. And I think they did it again this year to moralize saying aging, it's everybody's business. I know that we took care of my parents. I did not want to put my mother in a nursing home, but it got to the point I was almost alone doing it because everybody was sick in my family at the time. Mm-hmm. And what do? You can't leave them die in their home. You can't be there when you have to work. Mm-hmm. You know, I get steamed up, folks. I'm sorry. But I'm old, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, what's going to happen to me? But I think I'm going to a good place. And
yeah,
I tried to call him to ask him if I could mention their name, but I can't because I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't been able to get a hold of him to see if it's okay. But I can tell you, I have been over to check it out myself to see whether I think I would be happy there. And as far as I can see, I should be happy there.
Yeah, I would say so. And nobody wants to see anybody die, especially elderly people. But unfortunately, you do have elderly people who all their families are dead.
Right.
And they didn't have kids. And who's left? You know, who's left? Mm-hmm. Who's going to worry about them beside that nurse? And that nurse has got 14 other patients on that floor to remember and try to take care of, too. Mm-hmm. It's a tough situation.
Well, we know we can't stop aging, no matter what you want to do, folks. You can't do it.
Well, that's part of the problem.
I'm sorry. I don't age anymore.
There you go.
Longer.
It has stopped.
Yes.
Whoa. I don't know, my dear. She doesn't age anymore. But you can't stop aging.
I know.
No. But we can try to make
it
an experience, a positiveness.
What is it? You can't fool Father Time.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what they used to say.
And I guess I get really kind of frosty about it because I know that I really don't have anybody other than my immediate family. Mm-hmm. We just don't have a big family, never had a big family. So you look around and hope people like you and Sean will remember us and say, maybe we'll go visit her once in a while and laugh about something we talked about on the show. Well, do you remember when we talked about aging? Well, it's never going to happen to me. Mm-hmm. Well, I have to tell you, it's happening to me every minute of my day.
Well, you have to stay in touch with people who you were in touch with. I never understood aging. That there was a discrimination, but there is.
Oh my!
I mean, we had a conversation months ago on this show where you said there should be younger guests, and I said no. I don't understand what people's age has to do with anything. I really don't.
Yeah, I know we got accused of being old people on this radio program. Well, I have news for you. I have a little bit of idea what it was like in the past.
Well, I don't understand what I'm going to learn interviewing somebody in their 20s.
Right.
And I don't understand, are people really going to say, oh my God, he's got somebody in his 20s on, let's listen to that. Mm-hmm. Well, what wisdom do they have?
They haven't been out there yet.
What impart? And we have all people of different ages, but they can't see them anyway on radio, so what difference does it make?
I think the interesting thing in my lifetime, I'm very fortunate. I've got good doctors. I have good nurses. I just have a lot of wonderful, positive things. There isn't a week that goes by that one of my students either doesn't drop by, phone me, or come over. You know, mm-hmm. and I'm pleased for that. You know, I'll stop whatever I'm doing and back up on something else. But, you know, people make jokes about aging.
Oh,
you can't hear. Yeah, I'm going upstairs to Beltone when I leave here today and try to get my hearing aids in.
I think we are getting a phone call.
Oh,
here.
Good. I hope so.
Good.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good morning, Scott. It's Fred. I just wanted to, you guys were talking about the storm and who left and who stayed. I wanted to update you. I think I told you guys last Thursday night my son had planned to stay in Fort Myers.
Right.
And Saturday morning he decided wasn't a good idea with the way the hurricane was coming, so they packed up and drove 20 hours straight through back to Columbus. Mm. And glad they did. Just talked to him about half an hour ago. They just got home, and they were fortunate. They had no damage at their house. A lot of damage in Fort Myers, but back in the subdivision where they lived, they were okay. Some downed trees and things like that, but no structural damage. So,
well, I'm glad everything turned out.
Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I'm glad. Well, you know, I'm glad everything turned out. But what do you think these nursing homes, still almost 70 nursing homes without power? What do you do?
It's really criminal. I would certainly have thought that they would have had some sort of a backup plan in their manuals at each individual nursing home that would prepare for something like this. I mean, they live in Florida. You know, hurricanes are a common occurrence no matter where you live in Florida. So it's really criminal. I agree with everything that you guys have said this morning. There needs to be something done going forward to remedy this situation. It's just unfortunate that those people had to die.
I think you're right.
Yeah, I just don't think the nursing homes are down there are staffed enough, apparently.
I don't think any of them are.
Yeah.
I think it's
yeah.
very difficult to get people to work in them. It's very difficult work. And you take a lot of knocks and boxes and bruises and whatever. They don't mean to do that.
No.
But they can't help it, you know. No. But because sometimes I feel like coming out with my boxing gloves on.
Yeah, and well, listen, I'll get off of here. I just wanted to update you, Scott, on my son. And
well,
as I said, everything was great. And the brewery, no problems at the brewery. It didn't get hit either. So.
Well, I'm glad everything turned out great.
We were lucky.
Absolutely. Thank you
very much for calling in. We appreciate your thoughts.
And again, the phone lines are open if you do want to comment, 740-383-9944. But we are one of the most, aside from this whole nursing home thing, we are a very age-driven society in the United States.
Yes.
In other countries, they revere their elderly. Boy, not here in America. It's why don't we young. We got to be young.
Well, the interesting thing, I think, that a lot of times the elderly are viewed as being a burden, as being a society that we portray in a negative way. Well, let's get them out of our lives.
Well, you know what it is? The 70s, the new 40s. So there you go.
In what way do you mean that?
I mean, a lot of 70-year-olds act like 40-year-olds.
But you know, I don't know. You know, there are just things that your body can't do at a certain age, mm-hmm. and that's mm-hmm. just the way it goes.
But I'm saying there is a lot of people that are older and they're fit. They mm-hmm. they don't look their age.
Right.
They can walk up down the steps. They start exercise.
But I mean, what is look your age? I mean, even that's an ageist really comment. Look your age. What does look your age mean? I mean, do you look your age? We don't say that to young people. Sean, you look your age.
Well, people say that all the time to me. They don't think I look. I look more than 35. Older than 35.
Older.
Yeah, they tell me all the time I look older than 35.
Oh,
but that's
no,
it. That's not
no.
a nice thing to say.
No,
that's
it
not
isn't.
A compliment.
I know it's a compliment, but I'm just saying people say it though.
And nobody has ever said anything about my age because they don't. You don't usually walk up to kids and say, "Well, you look 5. You look your age."
Mm-hmm.
But boy, they do it to older people. They say there was an author named Studs Terkel. He said there are three stages to aging. You look great. You look good. You look great, and you look your age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does 80 look like? I think it depends on who you are.
To me, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean,
well, let me ask you, what does 80 look like?
It could be. Why do you think it'd be the old look over here? No, I mean, 80 can look like anything, really. I mean, a lot of people don't, you know.
That's what
we'll say. We'll say somebody's 100 years old. A lot of times people don't look 100.
But what does 100 look like? That's my question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think aging is not a lost youth, but a new shape of opportunity and strength. We can express adventures that we've had and we are having. I have adventures all the time. Just walking out of my house.
Yeah.
I go to every doctor practically in town. I'm not kidding you. I have a big list of them. And I really am thankful for them. We've got fantastic people here in Marion taking care of us. We're not a lost youth. We're just a new opportunity out there, and we've got some strength behind us. You really got me on a roll today, I'll tell you.
He certainly did.
The aging thing is fascinating because truly that look your age. Well, you have to have in your mind an idea of, let's say, 80. Okay, well, what does 80 look like? Because you have to have something in your mind, or how do you say, well, you don't look 80. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what does 80 look like?
Well, I think that you...
Well, I'm sorry, but 80 and a 20-year-old is going to be a difference.
Yes.
Well,
right, so basically yes, you're saying... So that's what I'm asking. Mm-hmm. When you tell somebody you don't look 80, in your mind, what is 80 supposed to look like?
Well, I mean, mm-hmm. That's a good question. I don't know. I guess I never really thought of that, but I'm saying...
That's what I'm saying. I never use that saying because I say, well, you don't look your age. Well, I think, well, what is that supposed to look like? I mean, I was...
I don't know, Naomi,
I was
what do you
dear,
think? Let's get your opinion on this.
I certainly don't feel 80, yeah. That's for sure.
You feel like you're 30.
And, well, I certainly do.
Yeah.
But could you do things that you did when you were 30?
Most of them.
She can ride a motorcycle right now.
Yes, I probably could.
Yeah.
Yes.
But would you be more apt to do it when you're 30 or when you're 80?
When you're 80 and when you're 30.
Exactly.
Yes, yes. And the only thing when you do get my age, which is far over 30... And far over than 80.
Right.
Yes, we're going to have a big celebration.
You don't look it, though.
Oh, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
He took my words.
I don't feel old. Now, that's another thing, too. What is the difference between feeling?
Right.
And when I compare myself to other people my age, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm glad I don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of people are very pleased or when they can belong to some old woman's club and all they do is sit and cackle. That's not me.
That's not me.
I would rather...
You'd be about be doing stuff, right?
Yes, I would. I'd rather be out in the yard or yeah. I'd rather be out doing something that, you know, is what?
Well, we had a little bit of a heated debate a couple months ago when it came to doctors. And I think we asked Marge, but I want to bring this up again.
Here we go.
Because, no, this is surgeons. Not,
yes.
not the doctors in your doctor's office, but surgeons, people who are cutting on you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my opinion is that I do think for surgeons that at some point there should be an age cutoff. Because here's the reason. As you get older, your gait is not as good as once it once was.
Right.
Your hands sometimes are not as stable as they once were.
Yes.
And does that fit every person? No, but you just, let's say somebody has a life, we never know when we're going to die. But
right.
Let's say if we could look into the future, let's say this doctor is going to live to be 110. Okay. Well, at 80, he's closer to death than he was at 30.
Yes.
No matter what. He's always closer to death. So I think there should be a retirement age for doctors. What do you think?
I agree.
Me too.
Right.
What do you think, Marge?
I disagree.
Well, we'll get into that after we get the phone call in. Go ahead, caller.
I have a couple questions for you. Number one, what's wrong with cackling?
Cackling? What's wrong with cackling? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're getting close to Halloween.
Now, you had a man on your program, I believe it was yesterday, who had some real insight to old age. Do you remember what he said?
Chuck Gillespie?
Yes.
Well, he said a lot of things. In regard to which thing?
Oh, well, he was talking about, I'm pretty sure it was, what was his last name?
Gillespie.
Chuck Gillespie. I'm pretty sure he says when you, he was talking about Andy Williams, and
yep.
He talked about the fact that when you got to an age, it was a stage. And mm-hmm. When he got to to be old. It was a stage progressing as an old man. Do you remember him talking about that?
I do. Well, one thing I remember was, and Andy Williams was a great performer, but he said Andy at 80 was just simply not as good a performer as he was when he was 40, because his vocals had been used for 50 mm-hmm. years, uh-huh. and that they do wear out.
Right. Yes.
Well, everything wears out, but I really respected what he said about. Didn't he say that Andy actually respected that reality that he was okay, an old man, and
yeah,
and it was the last stage of life. I think as a good summation of what he said.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people have put it very. Ronald Reagan used to say the sunset of his life, and a lot of people say the evening of their life. I think that's a nice way to put it.
And I like what Ann said. I think if I were going to define how you define personally what aging is, I think Ann hit it right on the head. And that's the fact that when you feel like you're old, you're probably old.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think only you know. A lot of people feel worse than they let on. They don't want to burden people with their issues,
right.
And that's okay too. That's a choice. Everybody makes it. But I just my thing about a doctor is, and I say it in a comical way, but if the reason nobody else I don't think should have a mandatory retirement age except pilots. But I think, well, give me a second. But I think pilots and doctors should, because they have other people's lives in their hands. And that is a high-stress job. It just is. Those are stressful jobs.
Well, what about engineers?
What about engineers?
If you put an engineer behind a train, if they don't stop, if they see somebody, or if they, you know, or if they don't control it correctly, or stop
Well, okay,
time,
let me
or...
ask you this. How many people have you heard their kids taking away their license when they're 40, the driver's license? Zero. How many have you heard about taking mom or dad's driver's license away when they're 85, 90? Many. And why do they do that? Because their reflexes, their eyesight, things just get worn out.
I'm saying you said it's the airlines.
Oh. Yes. Go ahead.
Whoa.
Go ahead.
You said just the airlines and the doctors.
Right. Right.
What about, that's not the only job that you're...
Right, but what I'm getting at is some people can operate a locomotive. Some people can drive a car.
Well, some doctors can operate.
But you're rationalizing. You're getting off in the weeds.
No.
I mean, well, let's say this. A cook, then, shouldn't cook because they might drop poison in the food.
Carla, what do you think?
Well, you know, I've heard you make this argument before,
yeah.
And I think both of you have great merit in the point that you're making, but I have this comment to say about that. To a certain degree, there ought to be testing.
Yes,
for
I agree.
Qualification to fly a plane, to be a doctor,
yep.
To drive a train, or whatever. And certainly, if there's no difference in a man who's driving a car or flying a plane and he has a massive heart attack.
Yep.
He may be 38 years old. I've heard of people having
that. Well, that's true.
And I agree with you on testing. That's why I said if the doctor can pass the test, and I don't care if he's 100 years old, if he can pass the test, let him operate on my heart. I don't care.
Well, here's the issue, though.
On the other hand.
Go ahead. On the other hand.
On the other hand. Sean, and here's where I agree with you. If you're going to drive from here to California, and you had a 1983 truck, and the sides were rusted out, and the suspension was good enough, and it worked wonderfully for you. Would you think twice before you're going to go from the East Coast to the West Coast in an old dilapidated? Well, some of us get old dilapidated bodies, and there should be some type. You see, the problem is, and I ran into this with my father when we took the keys, and they literally had to take the keys in the car from him because he couldn't even perceive that he was having accidents on a regular basis.
How old was he?
I'm thinking Dad was 80, 83, maybe.
Oh, dear. 83, yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and it happens to everybody at different ages. All I'm saying is there is a higher tendency, and I think sometimes we do have to play the odds, that there could be trouble.
I just said. What, are you going to drive an old car?
Yeah, exactly.
Here in California, you're going to expect some kind of problem.
I think you're... Well, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. And I think what the caller just said is exactly right. Would you drive an old rusted-up pickup out to... If you had a choice, would you drive an old rusted-out pickup to California, or would you drive a brand-new car? Now, the brand-new car could break down, too, but you got a higher risk that the rusted-out truck is going to.
Well, also with a newer car, there's many, many things on there that we didn't have to begin with. I think about what I had when I first started driving versus what I have now. And, man, it almost takes a scientist to figure out the car sometimes. Mm-hmm. I read my manual, but I had to go back and practice then after I read my manual. Because you push a button, the car starts. Mm-hmm. Why? I just have to turn a key. And then I couldn't find the key, you know. Now the key's built into my car.
And I think one of the other things...
Many things.
...that is different. I mean, anybody on the road could kill anybody at any
sure.
age. But one of the problems is, why do they take the parents' keys away? They usually do it before they have an accident.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
they feel there's just going to be a higher tendency for a wreck. And at some point, you do just have to play the odds. And when it comes to surgery, or it comes to flying an airplane, yes... you might be able to pass a test, just like a 30-year-old, but I'm betting you the majority of people couldn't, because things just change after a certain
right.
period of time.
Well, think about it. Look how many pilots are older. I mean, I flew a lot in my life, and a lot of the pilots are older. They're not younger, they're older.
But they're not over 65. In this country, you cannot work in that industry. There's a law over the age of 65.
Well, I'm just saying, they're probably in their late 50s, probably.
Well, late 50s is fine.
So, I mean... I think they should be allowed to work, above whatever age. If they're 80 years old and they want to fly, let them fly.
Well, that's fine until they kill everybody. You know, we're talking about this nursing home.
See, to me, how do you know we're going to kill? I mean, a 35-year-old person could be behind that plane and kill them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but that's a rationalization in the wrong way, because you could say, well, anybody could knock the borax into the
food.
But
that's what I'm saying. I mean, this risk is risk. You take risk every day by waking up. So
okay, we'll just stay in your house, I guess, everybody. I guess we should never fault this nursing home because they took a risk when they checked in.
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. What you're saying is... it's
but
it's,
I disagree with that.
If an 80-year-old person wants to fly, let them fly. You're taking the risk
because
they're
passenger.
Having a heart attack behind the...
They can be passengers. I'm not saying a heart attack. I'm saying your skills do diminish as you get older. How many babies come out with glasses on their eyes? They don't. How many people's eye prescription gets less as they get older? It doesn't. It gets worse.
Mm-hmm.
And am I saying every person is going to react this way? No, but you can rationalize anything.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, Marge, you were a second grade teacher, right?
Fourth.
Could you go back and teach fourth grade today?
Oh, I think so.
You think?
Yes,
Could you handle the kids and all the run around and all the things that they do?
I never allowed them to run around, so I don't know. On the playground they did, but like in the classroom, not that we sat there and knew you couldn't move around in your seat or anything like that, but we had to have rules. And I think this is one of the things that we're lacking in. We don't set any real rules for anybody anymore.
Well, how many times do I hear... A woman will get pregnant in her 40s and they'll go, whoa, that's going to be old to have that baby. She's not going to be running around that baby. You hear that all the time.
Yes, I know. You do. I don't know how to answer that because nature's nature.
Well, I know a lot of senior citizens who say, I don't want to watch the kid because I might take an... And I don't want to put the child in danger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope the airline pilot or the surgeon would say.
Mm-hmm.
I might feel fine,
mm-hmm.
but I don't want to put the other people in danger. If you want to put your own life in danger, that's your
business.
That's
your business.
But
wait, it doesn't... See, I disagree. I'm sorry, I have to disagree again. On a surgeon, it doesn't matter if they're young, old, whatever, medium, in between. You can get a young person that's going to either pass out because of a sickness,
or drugs, or
something. So to me,
that's not so much what I'm worried about.
I don't care if they're as long as they can save me or try to save me, go right ahead.
But that's the problem. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about the passing out. I would hope if they felt that sick before they went in, they wouldn't go in.
But you don't know.
These are not the points I'm making.
Sugar can drop in
I'm talking about their eyesight. I'm talking about mm-hmm. their reflexes. They are not going to be as good as a 30-year-old surgeon. And I guarantee if a 30-year-old surgeon went in and made the wrong cut, he would be malpractice sued and out of there. But do you want to face that as a senior citizen? Do you want to face getting a malpractice suit just because you're older? Senior citizens' car insurance runs higher. Why is that? Because they're more likely to be in an accident. Mm-hmm. We have to play the odds at some point. Dr. Michael DeBakey was one of the most famous heart surgeons of all time. He lived to be 101 years old, but he was not doing surgeries at 101. Why not? He's the greatest heart surgeon who ever lived because he understood his eyesight wasn't what it was. He understood his reflexes weren't what they
were. But how old was he when he stopped?
65.
I think that when we're talking about age, you know, and doing activities that maybe we shouldn't be doing, there are a lot of people that can't see and can't hear, and they won't give in. Oh, I'm not going to wear a hearing aid. I'm not going to wear those glasses, those big, thick glasses. Well, let me tell you, I'll wear those big, thick glasses if I have to, because I want to see where I'm going and what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And maybe we don't know what's happening to us, but it's a process. It's not going to stop because I want it to stop.
Well, how many times do I see a younger person take an older person's arm
right.
and help them? Now, you don't see a lot of younger people grabbing younger people's arms and helping them around.
No.
So why?
If they're struggling, you do.
Well, right, struggle. But why do you automatically assume a lot of times that an older person might struggle?
Common
sense, you got it.
It's courtesy.
Right, mm-hmm. But you know, like Charlie Evers is a good example, and he would say this. Charlie doesn't ride his bike anymore. Charlie was one of the great bikers Ohio. Why didn't he do it?
Because he didn't have his balance.
No, because of age.
Right.
He says age.
Well, I had an experience on the way over here today. A woman was in a wheelchair, a rather heavy set woman. And I'm telling you, she manipulated that thing really well on the sidewalk. Then I thought to myself, she's coming up to an intersection here. I want to see what she's going to do. She looked up at the light. She drove across very carefully and cautiously. A car was coming. It stopped and helped let her get through. And I thought to myself, this is where we all participated. I waited my turn. That woman got through the light. She jiggled and jangled through there like an expert. And I thought, wow, this woman has the skills still yet, but there would be somebody else maybe the same age as she is that wouldn't be able to do that.
Well, I'll tell you something interesting. Phyllis Diller, who we replay that interview on the station all the time, Phyllis lived to be 95.
Right.
But she said at 86, she no longer had the energy it took to get up on stage and do what she did when she was 50. Now, that's not a knock on her. She just said, I wanted to leave at the top of my game. I wanted to leave when I could still do it as good as I did. And she says in that interview, she says, when you get to be a certain age, falling is a big fear.
Oh, it is.
But do you worry about falling when you're 30?
No.
There is a difference.
I was running up and down steps.
Oh, no. I worry about, I'm 35 and I worry about falling all the time.
Do you really?
Well, yeah. I'm a bigger person.
Well, that's an oddity then. I thought that if I fall, I'm going to bust something that's unrepairable. Nan, do you ever think about falling?
You know, I'm sitting here having fun because here I am, the oldest.
And that's why we got to get your opinion on this.
You had better.
Yes.
Because I am closer to 88. Right now I'm 87, and I want to tell you something. I don't feel 87.
That's right.
And everyone tells me I do not act 87.
No, you don't.
And I'm prideful because of that.
Right.
That is my goal, to keep going as long as I can. Now, I'm finding out that there are things that irritate me more than they used to, and I am having to think a little more than I used to. But the only thing is, though, the kids, if they're with me when I drive, they say, Mom, you're doing a wonderful job of driving. Mm-hmm. And, of course, my answer to the one was, well, you better say that.
That's right.
But, and I see you driving around town, and you are an excellent driver. I'll have to tell you that.
Right. You know, it's but the day is going to come, and it's going to be hard on Nan.
Right.
Because there are things that I'm doing now, and I'm thinking, oh, my goodness gracious, what am I doing that for? God gave me a brain for more than that. But it's an experience, and it causes you to think more, really.
Yeah.
Because I will forget something, or I can't find something. I forget where I laid it, and I'm going, I'm surprised I'm here this morning. you know, it is just, but I love it, and I think God has been good to me. Because I'm taking care of my husband, and of course Ralph is 90. He is 90. He would be 98.
My goodness!
Wow!
And his mind is still good.
Perfect.
But he is completely he just can't walk, and he is in a lot of pain most of the time, and so that is something that is helping me, because it's forcing me to not care about Nan. Well, I have to care about Nan, but to the place where I look at him and say, no, no, Lord, I don't want to be at this place. The kids are taking better care of me now, and I really love that. I'm getting spoiled.
That's good.
But anyway, this is the thoughts of an old lady, and I don't feel old.
No.
This is it. I still work in the garden. I still take care of the fish pond. I still drive. I mean, I'm doing everything, but it's just that I get a little tireder, and I have to be careful that I don't slip and fall and so on and so forth. Those are things that come with it.
Right, things you wouldn't have thought of when you were 30.
That's right.
That's right, and that's all I'm saying. I'm sure there are doctors over 65 who could do a fine job.
Mm-hmm.
But if we make a cutoff point, then we're not going to have any mistakes. And 65, you've got more than 30 years in your profession. Your Social Security is coming. And if we push that back because Social Security gets pushed back, that's fine. But I just think there comes a time when I never knew an older person who was ready to turn in their license. Just like you said, you dread the day.
Yes.
But
yes.
You know it will happen.
Yes, yes.
So that's it. It's not, it's you want to do it, but you do it because you say, you know, I don't want to put other people in danger. One of my greatest stories I ever heard, and I'll do it right before we wrap up here, is this gentleman did not want to quit driving. And his kid said, Dad, you got to quit driving. You got to quit driving. And he said, I never had an accident. I'm not going to do it. Well, one day he went out to pick up his medication, and I guess something had happened. Nobody ever knew what happened, but he walked home, and he laid his keys down, and he said, I'm never driving again. And he didn't want to give it up, but they assumed, and I think pretty well right, that he might have gotten close to an accident that he would not have had happen. And he did not want, wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about killing somebody else.
There you go, and you do.
And you do. And I think that's all that the point in that is. We're going to come back for another hour. Stay tuned here to WWGH Radio.